blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the Holy Order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By a compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by a compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by a compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by a compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by a compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by a compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by a compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma, I am heir to karma, I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityambi tatyambi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to release. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and then suffering.
What shall we look at this morning?
Well, I was going to follow up on something we talked about on Thursday night.
Okay.
When we were talking about how we sit in the radio show. You know, sitting more formally rather than informally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just for the those of folks on radio land.
Right.
it was brought to our attention that we don't sit in a formal way when we listen to the radio show, and we're considering what's going on with that.
Yeah. So I've been looking at that since then about how I sit and mm-hmm. how I choose to sit. Mm-hmm. And this morning I had the opportunity to be on a practice call, and as it was starting, I had the thought, well, where should I sit?
Uh-huh. Sofa, not sofa.
Right. You got it.
I just know that from what you said.
Yeah. So there's the cushion. And there's the sofa and the wood stove, and
they look really different.
And
don't
they?
Look at the cushion.
The sofa has this nice big cat on it, and it looks really comfy. And mm-hmm. but I just chose to sit on the cushion.
Mm-hmm.
And what I noticed was that I was able to pay attention more.
Mm-hmm.
And I also noticed that it was about 45 or 50 minutes into the call before I noticed that I hadn't moved my legs. And I had the leg in front that I have the belief about that I can barely sit 30 minutes with that leg in front. And there I had sat 45 or 50 minutes
notice.
With that, and I didn't even notice. It didn't fall asleep.
Well, that's revealing, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I think it's because I was so present.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed, and then something came to my attention that was so, and all of a sudden I needed to move it.
Yeah, of course, that's why.
Nice. Yeah, and then I got a cramp in it, and then I couldn't get comfortable, and then for the last 10 or so minutes I was just kind of all over the place in my sitting, and I realized I was all over the place in my attention.
Yeah, body and mind are one. Aren't
they?
Yeah, especially I think about those two different postures, sitting on a mm-hmm. cushion. To me, says, you know, engaged,
yeah.
and participating, open, even like determined or courageous.
Right.
And
yeah.
I don't know how you sit in the sofa, but the way I would sit in the sofa would be passive.
Yeah.
We talked about passive tonight.
Yeah.
Nothing like there's anything wrong with it, but it just doesn't have that same degree mm-hmm. of participation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't have the same kind of showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was interesting because a little inquiry arose there at the end about whether my attention had started to wander and then that caused my posture to deteriorate, or whether my posture deteriorated and then my attention wandered. And I'm not sure, so mm-hmm. that's just something to look at. Mm-hmm. I know they're related. Yeah. I'm just not sure which one fell apart
which
first.
Which one went, yeah. Yeah, but that's good to see, isn't it, mm-hmm. that they are. I mean, that you can... I mean, that belief is completely erroneous, that you've got this one problem with this one leg and you can't sit the way. As if you're present, that's not your experience at all.
Right.
So I think what you're saying is you're wondering, well, what's really going on there?
Yeah.
You know, how much yes. of what's going on is actually physical, and how yes. much of it is just
right.
the state of mind and yeah. whatever level of indulgence there is with the stuff that's going on in the mind.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I think it's, I think that little cushion sofa thing is a metaphor for a lot of things in my life. You know, I think there are a lot of places where I choose or want to choose what's comfortable
mm-hmm.
and familiar and in the strange conditioning way, kind of nurturing and,
mm-hmm.
you know, taking care of me.
Mm-hmm.
But which really, and then the other side is kind of the, you know, conditioning paints it as the Zen warrior side, the stern showing up, which doesn't feel comforting and nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm showing up in that just showing up way, it is.
Yeah, and I'm curious, for kind of personal reason, do you see a way of being the warrior that takes care of that the need that is happens, you know, that nurturing kind of need?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do, and I think you know what how I would describe it is that, you know, just showing up in the paying attention, being present, doing everything that supports my attention being available
mm-hmm.
is nourishing. Mm-hmm. Just that,
mm-hmm.
and it's still carries the belief around with it that it's not. I mean, it's like the experience is one thing
mm-hmm.
and the lingering belief system is another thing.
Yeah, so to turn the attention away from the belief
right.
system,
yeah.
what you're saying is, well, if nothing else, the body is relaxed, I
right.
imagine.
Right.
In fact, if you're present, that's what right. happens. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing to be sort of preparing against. Any of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so there is kind of a comforting and a nurturing there.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't say this, but implied is, and you're also kind of with that same attitude of mind that comes with the sitting posture.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that kind of taken care of too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing as you were saying, I mean, it depends, a lot depends on who we're taking care of.
Right. Right.
You know, we might talk about, it's kind of similar to the conversation we've been having over the last number of weeks about the recording listening practice and
mm-hmm.
you know how we're talking to the one of us who wants to do practice.
Right.
So I would project that you know the to use your metaphor, on the sofa kind of takes care of a really young person
yes.
probably.
Yes.
And nurtures, you know, like a child,
mm-hmm.
like somebody who we wouldn't have the expectation that person needs to show up
right.
in the way that the sitting on the cushion sort of posture symbolizes.
Yeah.
But, and, so that's good. I mean, that's mm-hmm. something that needs to happen too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another sort of, we might say, being in you that is that within you that wants to practice
mm-hmm.
and sort of has, there's a responsibility as well as an ability
mm-hmm.
to stand up in this life against egocentric karma conditioning and make other choices that lead
yeah.
to freedom.
Yeah.
And that, so on the sitting on a little round cushion is the, kind of the place where that person gets nurtured.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's very well said. And you know, I think how would I say this? So I think, you know, it's true that there's still a lot of times that I identify with that little one who sees the world as needing her comfort
mm-hmm.
configuration. Another place I see that is with sugar. You know, she really feels comforted by sugar, and
mm-hmm.
I know now this body really doesn't.
Doesn't take care of it. Really.
It doesn't take care of the body at
mm-hmm.
all. And And I recognize this feeling that comes from her or from some other one that's not the one that shows up and wants to practice, is a kind of a, oh shucks, you mean it's all got to be taken away, you know, sort of a, you know, a lot of times when Sherry will be here and we'll be talking about things we need to do to step up, like sitting in mm-hmm. the correct posture or eating in the correct posture, things like that. And there's some little voice that says, God, you mean everything? Everything has to be this way? You know, and it's, you know, I know it's a young person, but it's like that residue of, you know, that follows around the person who is adult and wants to show up. There's this little cloud. It's like in the Peanuts, this is what came to me in the Peanuts cartoon, the character called Pigpen that always had that cloud of dust behind him. Mm-hmm. It feels like that. It feels like, okay, here's the person going forward, doing what she knows supports her and what her heart wants. And following behind is this little, yeah, but...
Yeah, I wonder if that is a little person.
Maybe it's just conditioning.
That's what I'm...
Yeah,
I
mean, it could be.
Yeah, it has all that feel, because what you're saying is that showing up takes care, nurtures.
Yeah.
It nurtures.
Yes.
And so it kind of makes, you know,
yeah.
I would think that someone who wants to be nurtured would be interested in that instead of just in that.
Yeah, it's conditioning using the conditioning of the little person. I mean, so it attaches it to those familiar stories.
Yeah, so the actual little person might say, okay, well, this looks different
than
I imagine it's supposed to.
Right.
But, okay, let's try this out. I mean, we have someone here who's really trying to take care of business.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the other person is, no, I don't care what we're doing. This stinks. I don't want to do it because I'm not interested in moving to somebody else.
Right. Yeah, I think that's true.
That's interesting. The reason I asked a question about the spiritual warriors, I was listening to an old call from the summer from the facilitator program, and that was actually talked about him as a spiritual warrior, and one of the people was talking about being on the front lines of practice, and that that's kind of the decision that we've made in doing practice, is kind of being on the front lines, and that there's an this wasn't talked about, this is one of the things I was looking at with it is, there's an expectation with that it's not going to be comfortable often.
Yes,
because when you think about like a war situation,
that's right,
of course, I don't know what that would be like, but it's certainly not comfortable.
Right.
And so to have that as a kind of an understanding that we've made that choice, and along with that choice comes these consequences, which is that it's not always going to be comfortable in a way that really condition would like, basically.
Right.
And that's okay. That's the choice we've made. Yeah. And then I think what you're kind of bringing, for me, what you're bringing to this is, okay, and then how do we take care of being in the middle of all that?
Right.
How do we approach life and practice from that place without it just going to the other side of the duality where it's all deprivation and there is no kind of nurturing of the being out here?
Yeah, and you know what also is coming up for me is the there's no change in consciousness without a change in behavior, because what I'm sensing is that the change in behavior of continuing to show up in all those ways and to make the choice of sitting on the cushion instead of the sofa, that even though in the moment they might feel, quote, uncomfortable, that the more we change those behaviors, the more the consciousness that comes with it is that, oh, I want this, I like this, this is good. This is what I want. This is, you know, that it would actually change the experience of that residue.
I bet it really would. Yeah, it makes sense to me too, because I bet you, I don't know, but I bet that person you're talking about as a little person comes up in response to an abandonment of center.
Yeah, probably so.
And so then suddenly there's all these needs that aren't actually there when we're at center that suddenly come up because there isn't like the basic needs are not getting met. So here's kind of a survival strategy sort of way to try to do that.
Right.
But if you're more and more that we're kind of that we're, you know, metaphorically sitting on the cushion, I just wonder how much those needs will come up.
Yeah.
And that's not to say it is really nice sometimes to have a nice cup of tea
or
you know, because
exactly.
it's the
not either
way.
Right. It's not either or. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think that there is there are some times when someone shows up to practice and isn't at center, so mm-hmm. the behaviors are there, but
the spirit isn't there.
Mm-hmm. It's just, well, I know I should do this, which I don't think is a bad thing anyway, because mm-hmm. it's still showing up, and mm-hmm. that's still reinforcing that.
Might be a way to get there.
That change. It's mm-hmm. like, well, in the meantime, even though I doesn't want to, someone will do it.
Yeah, and then what's happening in response to that can really give us a clue to, as to where we are.
That's right. Yes.
Like all these little people start showing up. Right. I wonder where I am.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
And thanks. Penny.
What just came up for me with regard to what was just said was, I wonder, that one who feels that she's not being comforted, I wonder if part of it is old experiences that one has when an older one tries to be adult.
Mm.
You know, just another older kid in the past.
But who actually is
an adult, and so that one has had bad experiences with when the other one tries to be an adult. So, I mean...
Which is kind of what's happening all the time, because, you know, we're trying to parent ourselves from a place that's not really a parent.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when we move to a place that actually is nurturing, I mean, no doubt conditioning uses that little one, but I also think there's a period of developing the trust
mm-hmm.
that this actually will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
That just occurred to me.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, we have to build that relationship.
One of the things that I noticed today on a call was... It just arose the difference between practicing like our hair's on fire, or practicing with real sincerity, getting it that every moment really is important, on the one hand, and conditioning's way of turning such moments into, oh my God, you know, portentous, heavy in life and death,
mm-hmm.
and how I really have to pay attention to, so that conditioning doesn't capture those moments that. I was seeing just the way the conditioning, you know, conditioning always straddles the middle way in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
So either, if I don't do this, I might as well just, you know, fall off the face of the earth, or it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And coming back to that place where it matters a great deal, and whatever happens is just the next thing to notice that happened. And I was really seeing how the middle way nurtures, use the word that was just used, the middle way is addressing the being, the deepest being,
mm-hmm.
and the other ways are addressing conditioning,
mm-hmm.
conditioning's
mm-hmm.
needs. I mean, I really got how, who is at stake is different in those two approaches.
Let me say that back to you and see if I've got it. So I think what you're saying is, so conditioning is straddling the middle way, and so it's got one foot in both, either side of the duality, and if that's where we are, there are needs getting met, but they're actually ego's needs.
Right.
And there's a place in the middle where it's interesting because it is life and death, and it's fun, light.
And it's my life.
Mm-hmm.
Too.
And it's my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my life. Yeah, and so that really describes it, because here it's my life, my opportunity, everything that happens is for me, but not a, I put quote marks, but I shouldn't
right.
have, it's a, not a separate sort of pseudo-me,
right.
but authenticity, and so my needs are getting met,
yeah.
but out here, they're not, I'm a separate me, and those person's needs are getting met, but leaving what's at center out of the picture.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, the conditioned straddle basically is be perfect or give up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever the content, be
mm-hmm.
perfect or give up.
Mm-hmm.
And since you can't be perfect, then of course you ultimately should
give up.
So it's just a lose-lose, you know, whereas here, so practice like your hair's on fire, because that will be the most life-giving thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do it, then there's the next moment,
mm-hmm.
and you're invited to do it again. And then there's the next moment, and you're invited to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like if you don't do it, the only option is to quit, you know,
mm-hmm.
or to try again to be perfect. I mean, the whole place it's coming from, you know, this, in a sense, the be perfect or quit presumes no future, in a way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, this is your chance. You do it perfectly, or you quit.
Right. And
there's no next moment.
Right. It's got to be perfect now. And it's life and death in this really
yeah.
awful kind of way.
Yeah, and so it's not working with the being,
mm-hmm.
who's a fallible human being is going to do it kind of okay sometimes and not do it okay sometimes. And so there's, speaking of nurturing, I mean, that's where the nurture is the working with the authentic person just moment by moment. You know, what just occurred to me is, you know, we talk about practicing moment by moment by moment.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm just seeing that is, and life works with us moment by moment mm-hmm. by moment. It never says, you weren't perfect, so I've given up on you.
Yeah, because do you know how they talk in psychology about a holding environment? I don't know if you've ever heard that, but they say, I don't know much about it, but they'll talk about, you know, a child is born, and then, you know, what is, like, the quality of their holding environment, you know, mm-hmm. the environment they live in determines a lot about what happens and how they turn out as an adult, and if it has unconditional love and acceptance or not, or like that. And I just had the thought, as you're saying that what you're talking about is an environment, is a holding environment that is very nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for
mm-hmm.
example, there is no issue in it of perfection or failure.
Right.
It doesn't exist in that environment.
Right.
So it's very relaxing, it's nurturing. Something happens that, like, it, we could say from a certain point of view, well, that didn't work. Well, that's just something to kind of laugh at.
Uh-huh.
You know, because the next, not laugh at, but laugh with.
See.
Yeah, see. Exactly, because the next moment presents a whole new opportunity to do that. And that's how life goes. Every moment is another opportunity to see more deeply and to learn skillfulness,
mm-hmm.
but without any kind of standards being applied to it. It's completely different from this dualistic world that you're talking about.
Yeah. When conditioning captures something like practice like your hair's on fire, it always makes it this, you know, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only opportunity you have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fail, then you might as well just
quit and give up.
And life is never in that kind of relationship with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Alex?
Well, what's coming up for me in this conversation is how much I experience is because of how I feel, or an idea about how I feel. And it's something that I think we were talking about recently, which is it's part of the resistance that comes up is an interpretation about how I feel. And if the conclusion that conditioning reaches is that I don't feel like it, and it lists a whole, you know, range of different ways that I don't feel like it. Could be too hot or too cold, or too dark or too light,
mm-hmm.
too hungry, too full,
mm-hmm.
and it really doesn't matter. It's just very convenient for it to interpret how I feel, and therefore it bases my entire life, or at least in that moment, the actions that I take, based on that interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just calling it an interpretation because I've had this experience recently where it's like everything is saying you feel this way, you feel this way, and this is going on with your body, and you can't do. And I'm like, I know, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
I do it anyway, and it's like I don't know how many times I have to keep having this experience, but it feels like every time, over and over again, I go through it, and sure enough, I didn't feel like it beforehand, but. I'm sure glad that I did because it had nothing to do with not being able to do it.
Well, of course, and what you're saying, I think, it doesn't have anything to do with how you feel either.
It doesn't.
Because you're not actually referring to how you feel. You said this earlier. You're referring to an idea about how you feel.
Conditioning is interpretation of how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't how you feel.
It's convenient, yeah, because, well, it's created enough of a groove in there that it's very believable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like I wish I could just, you know, depict it in some way. It's like some magician, you know. It's like, you have an ache here. You know, you have a, you're kind of, you know, having these thoughts about doing something else. You know, maybe you should do something else. When I do that something else, then I should be doing the other thing that I was originally contemplating.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what it is that I'm doing, I'm not really doing the thing that I should.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually how it works its way into me. And so the conclusion is don't do anything.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder even if there's such a thing as how I feel.
I wonder about that too, because that whole phrase just starts off like in that's a signal that I've gone up into conditioned mind, because my experience is that when I'm just moving along, you know, in the way that the conversation started off, you know, I'm engaged, I'm sitting in, you know, cross-legged position, I'm not focused on how I feel, you know, it's like my attention isn't going into looking for that, you know, leg that's falling asleep or the tooth that hurt. you know, it's amazing how those teeth that hurt just disappear when I'm engaged in life. And a minute I turn back, they show up again, and I get involved in that. And
It's how it feels.
Yes.
Ego doesn't feel like it.
Right, ego doesn't feel like it.
But from here it seems like, I think this is part of what you're saying, you know, life, it's kind of like life has our needs in awareness, you might say. Mm-hmm. It's hard to talk about without kind of presuming a person.
Yeah.
But anyway, it does sort of feel that way. Mm-hmm. So that the things, you know, how we're always talking all the time about how we just do the next thing life puts in front of us. Mm-hmm. The next thing life puts in front of us generally will take good care of us, and we'll consider in this kind of magic way, like things like how the body feels, what, you know, what's going on in the body, what's going on in the tummy, you know, these different kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But that's really different from how I feel.
Yes.
Like there's no one thing that's there. It's just there's a whole bunch of sensations and a whole bunch of just physical, psychological factors that are there.
And those go on all the time.
Right, and they are relevant to what is sort of the appropriate response. Mm-hmm. But it feels like if we just let life take care of that, then life will take care of that.
Yes.
But if we could say, well, we collect a few of those and put them together into some idea about how we feel.
Well, that's just it. It's the meaning. It's mm-hmm. it's not even just how I feel. It's what happens as a result of that how I feel, which I think what you're saying is not how life works. Life doesn't interpret it and say, as a result of how you feel, therefore now you must. It never says that. It's what was said earlier. Every moment, it's a moment by moment by moment thing. You know, so I find out as I'm going along. It's something that I've said. It's like I had a conversation via text with Sherry about a realization that I had about you know. So I got interested in some things like nutrition and fitness, and I realized that I started to get really narrow in what I was finding out about it, almost to the point where it was like a position was being taken on it. And I had this amazing realization with it where it was like, wow, I see why it's so dangerous to do that, because, and this relates to what we're talking about, so I don't feel like I'm going off on too big of a tangent, but it's like what it is that people who practice, and that's what we're doing, it's not like what we're doing is planting a flag and taking a position on something, because what that does is it closes off all of life. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is paying attention moment by moment and letting life inform. It could look exactly the same thing as the whatever the specifications in the position was, you know, for instance, you know, whatever the fitness thing or whatever the, you know, the nutrition thing is, but it's not like it makes as much sense for me to say that, like, I'm a Democrat or something like that. Okay, great. So what? Mm-hmm. You know, what does that have anything to do with a person who's practicing Zen and awareness?
Yeah, and there's an openness that goes with that.
Completely.
And it changes moment by moment.
Yes.
So right now, I mean, there is sort of, we have a position, sort of, just because in this moment, like, I'm stepping with my right foot or stepping with my left foot. You know,
right.
There's something happening. But yeah, with that openness, we don't know where that's going. So the next moment, there might be an insight or information comes in or something that completely changes the whole picture.
Yep.
And now we're in a different place. And the next moment after that, another piece of information may come in that completely changes that whole picture.
Yes.
And there's a sort of an evolution that goes along with that that's constantly changing. And
exactly.
And we're allowing ourselves to be guided.
Exactly.
Instead of, the other way, I think we're allowing ourselves to be guided by ego into a smaller and smaller place where we make a stand and then block out life.
Block out life and stop seeing, you know, where things just don't apply anymore. It's like conditioning just likes absolutes, you know, either I'm going to be a complete failure or a complete winner. You know, it's like either one works. So I'm just glad that we're having this conversation about it doesn't really matter about how I feel, because that takes it out of an idea about something that I can get fixated on and not be in touch with my heart, which will guide me.
Yeah, the only thing that really matters is that we do what life is putting in front of us.
Exactly.
Or at least we have a willingness to see that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. See, Andrew.
I love this place. I've been looking at losing interest in how I feel, or just kind of the losing interest thing. And so I asked myself, I was sitting here, I had looked at it earlier, trying to walk down the lane. What is the experience of losing interest? Mm-hmm. And it didn't come. Anyway, so I sat here and I said, I wonder what that experience of losing interest is like. And I don't know if it came from center, or I don't know if it was left field or whatever it was. But right at that second, I lost interest. I had no interest in what that's like. Mm-hmm. And then the big amazing thing kicked on after that is that I like to get an insight like that and then have that mean something. Mm-hmm. And I lost interest in that. Mm-hmm. And it was, then the next one was there, and then I was kind of chuckling and laughing. I had a ball over here, just not interested that meant anything. Mm-hmm. That I now got it, that I now have an insight that now is going to serve me in some way, that'll fix all the things I might have thought, but no, it just, I totally lost. I'm not interested in what that meant. Mm-hmm. Or how.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But I'm curious. So when that's going on,
in a non-interesting kind of way. Yeah.
So I think what you're saying is you're losing interest in the focus that conditioning is prescribing for you.
That and how I feel about it and what it means and what I should do about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when that's going on and you are losing interest in that, what are you interested in?
I'm present, and it's present. But the next event, or the next comment, or the next activity, or the next responsibility, or mm-hmm. is going to be there.
And would you say there is an interest in that? Not in a noodling kind of way.
No, I wouldn't even use the word interest. I'm aware of it. I can be attentive to a need. It doesn't capture my imagination. It doesn't take me out of the moment. The interest that I think you're pointing at doesn't take me out of the moment that I'm in.
Yeah. What I'm kind of driving at is that I don't know if this is your experience, but it seems like in order to, I think you're describing this. In order to lose interest, basically what conditioning wants to direct our attention to, there has to be something else there for our attention.
Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness, that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Or, you know, it could be, you know, what's coming. Yeah, that works. You know, like the spirit of inquiry is what is coming up for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not a noodling. You know, that's what happens with ego. You know, I'm interested in this, but it's not in a way that's helpful.
It's the difference between getting so interested in something that I get buried into it versus getting so interested in something that I miss it, mm-hmm. that now I'm interested and I don't miss it.
Yeah.
And the new interest is that I don't miss what's happening, and it's not really necessarily interesting to me, it's just happening.
So would you say that there's an awareness with the kind of the newer kind of interest? And there, with the conditioned kind of interest, there really isn't an awareness, is it? It kind of, if somebody was talking about that earlier, I can't remember what context, but things becoming very small instead of expanding.
Yep. Yeah. It's only that. Whereas the new interest is a lot more than that because I'm not tied to what the last interest meant mm-hmm. that I have to do now. Mm-hmm. I'm more able or available for whatever it is. I just kind of, there's this laundry list of things that could come up in a day that I can do. I have responsibilities, and now I'm talking about it.
You're making good sense to me. I think what you're saying is, you know, that interest is not present, the conditioned interest. It's basically taking you off, it's taking you up into your head, mm-hmm. off into this kind of noodling place about something.
Yeah.
The alternative I think you're exploring is that the day just kind of lays itself out moment by moment. And it might be full like a responsibility. Like, here, well, the next thing arises is the need to respond to a responsibility that you have. There's not an invest, like a personal investment in that necessarily. There isn't kind of any meaning attached to that. You don't get kind of any kudos. You don't get to be a good person, or if you do it, a bad person if you don't. You know, those kind of things that happen in, over in the other kind of interest. So it's not, it's, you know, that responsibility rises. That's really not interesting to conditioning. But it's, but it's I don't know if interesting is the right word, but it's, in a way you could say it's interesting to hear, because
this is
what life's putting in front of me to do.
Right.
Even the smallest thing, this is deep and it's vast. It's connected to all that is, even though it's just this next simple thing that are, that arises. You know, Sherry often used the word fascinating.
Mm.
You know, it's fascinating that this is what's here, but that's a really different place than that kind of noodling that happens with conditioning.
Yeah, right outside, right off of that path, then it becomes, well, then I'm never going to have any fun if I have to be this present. there's no more cups of tea, or, well, that wouldn't be my version of joy, but there's none of that. That's
mm-hmm.
over with.
Mm-hmm.
And it wants me to bring my attention to the downside of this, what this new interest you found is.
Mm-hmm.
And when I drop interest, I'm not really interested in that. I'm just not interested in that.
In that conversation.
Yeah, just, it's not appealing. It's
mm-hmm.
just not a, oh, it's kind of a ho-hum, oh, the leaves are falling around, whatever.
Yeah, from here it really isn't interesting, is it?
No, and the fascination comes in a much different way without the noodling or the distracting interest or the...
Yeah, and it includes everything.
Yeah, and I sense that when I'm not interested in all that other stuff, I can be attentive and present to some of the needs that are there.
Yeah.
All the I was thinking that maybe something like 98, maybe a super high percentage of the things that come up for me do not need to be attended to.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm on one side of the duality or the other,
mm-hmm.
They don't have to be attended to. And when I get in the middle, when I'm at center, I can attend to whatever has to be attended to
mm-hmm.
as a need, because it's that's why it's there. It's
yeah.
It's in the moment.
And just being at center is attending to those needs.
It does that.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
And so there aren't, like we were saying earlier in the conversation, there's not a whole bunch of these, just tons of conditioned needs arising.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they're being taken care of by what you're
yeah,
starting
from. That when you say that, it's just kind of a no-brainer that if I'm here, then it's taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing that needed to be taken care of anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no interest in getting lost in, oh, I have all these other responsibilities that are not in front of me to deal with right
mm-hmm.
now, and distractions, and yeah.
Very interesting. Brian.
Very, very fun to hear all of this, because it's like hearing about lots of good friends that I have, and it's good to know other people are having relationships with them too. And the image of sort of the magician and the befuddling really jumped out for me. It's this process that I go through with all the time that I describe as the priority shell game. I don't know if you're familiar with like
the three
shells or
uh-huh.
the carbines on the lady. You know, it's all sleight of hand and tricking you. And ultimately, the purpose is to take as much of your money as possible before scaling. And that's kind of what happens. It's like a list of priorities gets created, and I'm getting the information that these are the most important things in this order. And so it's like, okay, well, I'm listening.
I'm all for that.
So I'll go for number one. What's number one? And I start doing number one, and then number two is now the most important thing that's going to be done. I'm just wasting all of my time. And it's like, where did I even get the impression that this is the thing that I should ever do? And then it's like, well, okay, you know, so maybe I need to, you know, do some work in the yard, and I need to sit, and I need to, I need to make lunch or something like that. And no matter which one I choose, that immediately becomes the least priority.
Uh-huh.
You know, so if I'm sitting, then I need to get to the yard. And if I get to the yard, why am I not sitting? And if I, you know,
but
if I'm
not
really
to make
lunch now, if I'm making lunch, then what am I doing? The yard still needs work. And it just goes around and around and around and around and around. And it really, it's really a painful process.
And what's the result? What's that process trying to produce in you?
Well, I think that the ideal is that I get to the end of the day and nothing has been done, and I'm really upset about that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a coup.
Yeah, and everything goes perfectly. You know? And it's just like, well, another day, and I've got nothing done, and I get to go to sleep completely dissatisfied, and, you know, despairing, what is going on in my life? You know, and it's one of those situations where it just has to become kind of a letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, the difference between sort of fascination and fixation comes mm-hmm. into play, you know, to see that arise and go, oh, so, there you are, it's good to see you, I haven't seen you in a couple minutes. and it's absolutely lovely that you're here, I'm glad you stopped by, but now I need to be present for the next thing that's arising. Mm-hmm. And just having that, having the ability to see something, and even to see through it, and have that not be something that now, you know, now I have to spend the next hour, you know, figuring out exactly how that happened.
Right.
How did it get me, and how did it come up, and why does it come up, and what are the situations under which it comes mm-hmm. up, and, you know, I need to find out all the things, and then, you know, to have the experience of, I've just spent the last hour figuring all these things, and I have all these things to do.
So that's where the energy ends up going.
Yeah, exactly. And so to be able to, you know, like we were talking about, not be interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it's a thing that's happened. It's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to go anywhere with it to find out about it. It's mm-hmm. going to come to me over and over and over again. Yeah.
And you've seen it now. And you've seen it play out enough times now that you don't have to be confused about what it's doing.
Yeah, it's got its aims, and they're not at all about supporting the being in any way. They're mm-hmm. just, it's this entire siphoning system, just grab the attention and just run around with it for a while, and that's great, you know, and I don't actually have to be interested in having any kind of judgment or feeling about that. You can just, it does its thing, and sometimes I go along with it, and sometimes I don't, and that's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to do my level best to stay right here and, you know, keep paying attention, and maybe I catch it, you know, 3 times out of 100 today, and, you know, maybe tomorrow I'll get it 4 times.
Yeah, it seems like I bet there's all kinds of good ways to kind of set yourself up for success on that. For example, you know, when someone comes here to spend time in the monastery, whether it's for the day or for a longer period of time, it's always set up really clearly, like here's when I'm arriving, here's when I'm departing. And one of the reasons for that is so that there doesn't have to be any conversation about that after. Like, I don't have to have a conversation every day or every moment of the day. Like, I'm leaving. People come here on extended stays. So it just occurred to me the same kind of thing. You could apply the same kind of thing with this. Like, you get as soon as you can. Here's my part of the list. Here's what I'm going to do. And then you just stick with the list.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything that happens other than that, you can know it's just conditioning trying to mm-hmm. take it away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just makes it really, kind of gives you, would give you a place to stand as all these things arise and to kind of divide up, well, what's coming from here and what's coming from out of here.
Yeah, just structure of any sort gives you a chance to see how conditioning is working to break down structures.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's a lot like the, you know, sort of guided meditation versus sort of unstructured meditation. You know, when somebody is presenting the images that you're going to focus on, you can just practice focusing your attention and moving it around
yeah.
without having to have this conversation of, well, we've really been focusing our attention here for too long. We should be focusing our attention over here.
Right.
And suddenly, where is the attention? It's not focusing anywhere that we intended it to. It's just off.
Yeah, it's supporting that, you know, the build-up to that, the end of the day, feeling bad about yourself.
Yeah. So, it's fun getting to become reacquainted with all sorts of old friends.
Yeah, and good practice opportunities, yeah? Yeah, because there's I bet, you know, it's a lot larger than just kind of what happens when you have time to do stuff. It's, you know, this probably is a very basic strategy that conditioning has in attempting to, you know, take your life for itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I so appreciate the monastic structure of the schedule that I don't have to have a conversation every day that I do out there about mm-hmm. what's going to happen today. And it's so interesting. Sundays show up
which is a little unstructured, the afternoon. And every Sunday it's like, ooh, I get a flood of information that is sort of like a priority list. Get 10 things that drop in, and then it's changing moment by moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just pulling my attention away constantly, like, geez, all of a sudden, maybe doing a little hand washing was important for the laundry, and now it's just off the radar screen. And then I notice I have no socks at the end of the day. I'm like, oh, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Because without the structure, it seems that it's conditioning has fair game at me. Where in the monastic structure of the schedule, at least through Saturday, Monday through Saturday, there's always, it seems, that structure is really supportive in taking care of this being of directing attention, which I find is interesting to see how when holy leisure comes up. It sometimes doesn't feel like it's holy or leisurely.
Mm-hmm. Have you considered ways that you might provide that structure for yourself in a way that you imitate?
Yeah, I have thought of that. And it's come up a couple Sundays where I've actually written out a little schedule for myself, mm-hmm. where there's certain things that through the week I don't have opportunities to get to that are either personal items, or even a couple Sundays I looked at using a little session in the afternoon where I actually write it down on a note. Because when conditioning comes, I'm like, well, gee, it just got sunny. That height's looking good. And I'm like,
oh, wait a second, what's on my schedule?
That's right. I'm like, geez, we just committed to walk, sit, walk, sit, walk, sit. And now it's sunny, and now the hiker's shown up. And the person that wants to sit is kind of being elbowed out. But it's been my experience that keeping agreements with myself is very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because that process of edging out the sitter for the hiker is conditioning's way of saying, well, let's just edge out practice for conditioning.
Yeah.
Even though it's on a smaller scale, it can pull practice away from me pretty quickly.
Yeah. And it seems like there's a way, too, where there can be a flexibility built into something like that allows for changes like that to happen.
Yeah.
So could be like, what do I want to commit to right now? Well, I think I'm going to sit.
Yeah.
And then the sit's over, well, what am I going to do now? Well, it's still kind of pouring rain, and doesn't look really, the hiker's nowhere to be found. And so how about we do another walk and sit?
Yeah. Okay,
and then where we are. And that way kind of, you're still having that commitment and that structure, you still kind of have a chance where, okay, well, that activity just ended, I can get as centered as I can, I'm going to make a commitment from that place.
Yeah.
But it has a way of really kind of allowing everybody to get taken care of as the day unfolds.
I'm really glad you said that, because a couple weeks ago, that's exactly what happened. It looked like it was going to rain the whole day, and it looked like a certain hike I was thinking of doing, I wouldn't do. And it reminded me of one of the Sherry Cool cards about looking at something third, fourth, fifth, sixth time.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said, in the sense that flexibility isn't wishy-washy, it's intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what's life's putting in front of me. And all of a sudden, the heavens did part, and it got really sunny and really nice. And I did exactly that. Life said, maybe it's time.
Uh-huh.
And we had that ability not to, let the salt aid come in and go, well, hey, you just dropped two sits. You got to walk or sit. You kind of abandoned yourself in practice. It wasn't that.
Yeah, boy, that just seems like such a good life skill. I've been experimenting with that, too. I had an experience last night where, Sunday morning's come, well, what do I feel like doing? This kind of goes back to, how do I feel?
Yeah.
And then, there's this idea, there's all these different parts of me, basically. I want to do this, and I want to do this, I want to do this, and I feel like doing this. And the only really intelligent answer is what I was seeing is, well, I have no idea. I don't know.
Right.
And it was kind of cool, because there are these different factors, like, well, there's a dog involved. Oh, okay, well, and then there's this, and this happened, and it kind of, it happened on its own, where it became really clear, oh, I see that. There's a thing to do. And it really was, it didn't have anything to do with how I felt about anything. I enjoyed it really a lot. I think I would have enjoyed probably anything that had happened.
Yeah.
But it felt like it was something that happened that took care of everybody, including the dogs. And so anyway, that's just such a life skill to be able to kind of, it seems like there's two choices. One is we have conditioning guiding us. We're conditioning us throwing in the next thing to do all the time.
Right.
And like Brian was saying, it's taking us this way, it's taking us that way.
Yeah.
It's basically taking away what we really want.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, the other alternative is to have life doing that. And life, if we're doing that, then it inevitably leads us to what we want. And a lot of times I feel like it seems like there could be lots of ways that happens.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, what I saw in that too was, it's a great who's here exercise too, but with the recording listening too, is the mentor's presence is always there too, right. So that the needs get met. So mm-hmm. The hyper comes up, strong personality, self of mind, same with the Zen student, and they're kind of vying for attention, but then the mentor's there in the sense of that parent. Mm-hmm. You know, that parenting, that governing parent would say, well, you know what, there's time for all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we can still get in our sitting, we can still get in a little hike, or take care of the needs of all, as opposed to just one or the other. And that's the condition of sense duality.
Yeah.
Well, you committed to sitting, you've got to do that all afternoon.
Right.
You should, it's nice and sunny, let's hike all afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And let's give up that intention of doing the sit.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I find the mentor coming in with the record and listening, is that even when I don't have the earbuds in, the mentor drops in because I have that relationship that's been building and building and building by doing it consistently daily,
mm-hmm.
that it can come in the non-listening times when it's either, am I going to go with conditioning or am I going to go with who's here? Because sometimes it's hard to differentiate. Well, it was talked about earlier, who's here will come in, a sub, and condition will attach onto that and then make it a priority. Whereas, you know, the little hiker comes in and then all of a sudden, there's the duality.
Mm-hmm.
We've got it, you know, it's been raining 4 days, you know, it's sunny. That there's just, you know, it's changed all the parameters. But then I can see that, wow, that conditioning just, you know, attached itself
mm-hmm.
to that person's wanting to get its needs met. And
right.
So it's a great skill to have that relationship with the mentor. And it just feels that no one's kind of left abandoned.
Because mm-hmm.
condition will come in, and in the duality, someone gets abandoned.
Right.
If it's focused on one needs being met, there's others that their needs get abandoned.
Yeah, and really the level that we're meeting those needs is not the level of the sitting or the hiking or anything.
No.
Those things are kind of irrelevant.
Yes.
The need is to be here.
Yeah.
And that, like we were saying earlier, that meets everybody's needs.
Yes.
And we can really tell sort of who's been in charge by the result that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So if we end up feeling, this, you can't make a rule out of this, but in my experience, you know, you didn't get to that place that Brian was talking about. At the end of the day, dissatisfaction, basically.
Yeah.
You know, in some way, conditioning managed to take that whole thing away from me. Even though I did all this stuff,
yeah.
You know, it's like the place that that came from didn't meet my need.
Yeah.
And the other side is, well, I mean, gosh, it just went all over the place, but boy, that was great.
Right.
You know, because the place I was coming from is what meets the need.
Yeah. You just saw the attitude of mine, right?
Yeah.
Just really quickly, and I like the bottom line, which is the no self hate part of the whole thing,
because mm-hmm.
that's how conditioning just wants to whitewash the whole thing just at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this last sentence that comes in is just you blew it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what.
It doesn't matter because you know the process that you were talking about. While you know, just I went all over the place, but I had a good time, and the other one, which is. I didn't do what I wanted, and I had I did what I wanted, and I had a lousy time.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it's like conditioning is just coming in and okay, has last say, and then the whole thing. And basically, I think someone talked about that too. So the last word is how it colors the entire experience. You know,
mm-hmm.
you just have an amazing day,
mm-hmm.
and something happens at the very end,
mm-hmm.
And that's how conditioning just everything. Just a big eraser just sucks all the energy out of it, and that's what we just have to be in the lookout for.
Yeah, the classic one that we always talk about is in facilitation.
Oh.
You know, you just facilitated a group, you facilitated a whole week's workshop,
mm-hmm.
and then last 10 minutes, something happens to feel bad about.
Exactly.
And then it just did all the beautiful energy yeah. and attention you put into that just gets...
Just picture the straw.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes every last bit of it, yeah. And that's what we're practicing, actually, it feels like, is that the presence of that's what's going on. You know, this is it. This is the moment where it's trying to do it all.
Yeah, and it seems really important too, of course, because you know that's going to happen. I bet you, as we head start heading out of this life at the
yeah.
end of it,
yeah.
you know, conditioning back in and say,
yeah.
"You blew that one." But if we have practice, if we know that that's what it does, and
yeah.
we're there saying, "You know what? You're wrong."
Yeah,
I don't believe that.
Uh-huh.
And we can really see. We can see all the goodness and the heart that was in it, and you know, whatever. Then. Boy, that is so important.
That is important, and it's empowering. It's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, what I wanted to say was this thing that seems like it's related to what you're saying that I saw on the internet. It was this kid who was 18 and he died of a heart thing. But he, like a week before he died, he had lots of experiences through his life almost dying because he was born with this thing. And so he was describing on the internet what it was like the last time that he died. And what happened was he stood in front of a mirror and life or God or his angel was some, you guys probably know, but some rock star that he likes was standing next to him. And
we know, we would know. You guys.
Maybe you guys would find him, but probably somebody would. So anyway, he's there in front of this mirror and he's being told how perfect he was. And how, and I thought how when I saw it go by, the thing, because it went viral a few months ago, it was just what we do. Mm. You know, it was just what we do, and that's what that transition was like. You know, we think that we're going to, those of us who were raised in certain traditions, that, the day of judgment, and then ego takes that and says it's going to look like this.
Right.
It's going to look like what it does to us at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's going to be an evaluation, and it's going to be how bad we are.
We're guaranteed to lose.
But this kid who was a kid who wouldn't have known, he was just a kid, so he couldn't have hardly made that up. And I always like to remember that because it's one of those, it's like screw tape. It's all those things that can keep building the truth, like recording and listening practice.
And that's what we can practice for.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, we're dying and coming to life every moment.
Right.
And so, every moment there's that opportunity. And of course, we also are preparing for whatever happens in the future so that we can be there for that.
Yeah.
Gosh, it just seems so important, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And I'll just report that I made it through the week going up against that thing. It was pretty fun. I don't know, have you guys seen Kung Fu Panda? Has that ever been a training movie? Who do I email? I guess the guest master. Okay, so
Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda. It's just like Monster Inc.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I can relate to that.
Exactly. I was invited down one time for that. And see that at home I saw here. Anyway, anyway, okay, Kung Fu Panda, you haven't seen, so I don't want to
run. Anyways, just like that.
just like that. The ultimate thing is we're okay just as who we are. Mm-hmm. And that thing that does the evaluating or telling us how we feel or at the end of the day, or I can relate to the sucking of the straw, the energy, you've had a good, and then there's 2 minutes of bad.
Yeah.
Sherry uses the example of going to the party and having something stuck in her throat. Great party, and she says, oh, this is great. She gets home and then she smiles in the mirror and, how is it there?
Yeah. And the thing is, it is good. It was good, whatever happened. Was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because life is good.
Yeah.
I mean, it really doesn't matter what happens. That was good.
I want to put that on my recorder.
Mm.
The truth is, I remember a few months ago, I think it was Mickey said, the truth is I have a great life. The truth is I'm really happy a lot of the time.
Yeah. And we know that after it's happened.
Right.
We look back and we, all these hideous things that we've been through. I'm so glad I went through that.
Mm-hmm.
That was so good. I was being guided by the hand of God through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a lot harder to see it while it's happening. But it just seems to me like that's what's always going on.
And I don't know if you notice this as we go along in practice, but I actually remember that more.
Mm-hmm.
When the hard times hit, mm-hmm. I actually have lots of experience that it's like the weather.
Mm-hmm.
I have lots of experience looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't keep me down as long as it did. Mm-hmm. It's not as convincing as it once would. It still can produce those sensations. I still have to show up. I'm still screaming in agony a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But not quite the same as last time.
Are you saying kind of there's an awareness in it that this is for your good?
There is an awareness in it. How would I say it? I could go with that. There is an awareness in it that this is for my good. There's an awareness in it that that there's nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that book, That there really isn't anything wrong. That this is it.
Mm-hmm. This is your life.
This is it. This this is the gift. This is the gift.
Yeah.
This is God. Mm-hmm. This is what it looks like. It's not what ego's telling you it's going to look like. This is what it looks like.
Yeah. I like that, the gift thing. We saw a thing on Thanksgiving evening. This guy does...
Oh, I was there.
Okay, yeah. Practice of the gratitude.
Yeah, Spindlegrass. David Spindlegrass.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why he said, each day is the gift, and within that has to be included these things that ego doesn't like, that are really painful and difficult. But to me, it's a profoundly religious attitude of mind. Mm-hmm. That's a gift too. This is a gift from life for us. And it's not just something that we have to struggle through and get past, and then you're really, boy, I'm glad that's over. This is something to be grateful for,
yeah,
because this is getting us where we need to go.
And the neat thing for me is, 20 years ago, I believed that in theory, and I so badly, it's why I kept coming. Today, I know that's so.
Mm-hmm.
Something inside of me is bigger than ego now.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's true. Mm-hmm. It's not just a theory. It's not just I wish I believed that.
Mm-hmm. You experience it.
It's true. Mm-hmm. I have an experience of it. Now, it's not that I'm not going to forget when I walk out the door, but I don't forget as easily.
Yeah, and it's not that ego isn't going to react when things happen.
Oh, yeah.
Because, of course, that's what we're really here, we're seeing that is what it's all about. Of course it's going to. But there's this deeper place from which we can understand that this is here for us. It's a gift for us. And we can even say thank you for it.
And that it's what's real, in quotation marks. That other thing isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Ego's reaction is ego's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me.
Mm-hmm.
For so many years I thought it was me, and this was a nice idea.
Right, yeah. And just the practical benefit of that, of course, is we go a lot quicker through those things when we're not identifying with
right.
ego, resisting it the whole way.
Yeah. When we're being in the gift. And,
yeah.
and the spirit of inquiry, we're identified, how is it a gift? All right, can I see it? I don't see it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to... My experience is...
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how this is going to take me to a deeper place. I know it is.
Right.
Because that's always my experience. Mm-hmm. But I don't can't see how. It's going to be
that.
Fascinating to discover that.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's our time. Thank you very much.